put his finger on something and I'm going to get with him. Right now, I'm going to get up and speak in the confidence of Christ, not in the confidence of Trent. I'm going to speak in the confidence of Christ's holiness, not in the confidence of Trent's holiness. Because right now, I don't have any confidence of any holiness. I'm in that place of conviction. You see, it's going to make you stable. It's going to make you consistent as a leader. It's going to make you strong. At the same time, you're going to be able to deal with your sin and be humble enough to deal with it and to examine your lives. But you're not like you're not a wave tossed to and fro by every little wind of emotion, you know, here and there. But you're strong. You're stable. Because you have resolved that everything you do and all of the confidence that you have is based solely upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And boy, when we grab this, brothers and sisters, and I'll tell you, this is my life. I am always convicted about something. Always. Amen? And I'm saying, I hope you are. We should be. I mean, unless you really think you're something. We got a big problem. I mean, I want to be in that place where I'm always convicted. I want to be convicted. I want to grow. I'm not the leader because I have obtained. And here I am. Let me share with you how awesome my walk is and how yours can be like mine. You see, you can do that when your walk's doing real good. But the reality is you know better. That's not going to be consistent. Let me share with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the central, for those of you that are teachers, the central theme of every message should be the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be the heart of every message. It is Him that I'm here to talk about, not me. And so many times you can sense somebody, their whole walk is built upon how they are doing, not what He did. When it's what He did, it's always what He did. It doesn't change, it doesn't move, it doesn't go up and down from the wind of emotions. It's still solid, it's strong, it's something you can stand on. What I'm doing can change from day to day. It's what He did. It's the beauty of understanding, look, I've got nothing. No confidence in my flesh. But He's got everything. And I'm a sinner. And I go to Him. And I draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Because I can. Because He's made a way. And I come to Him. And when I minister, I point people to Him. Not me. I point people to Him. I know where He is. I know how to get there. Because in my own life, that's where I go. I know where they are because I'm like them, sinners. People sometimes are, you know, amazed at how I can just peg them what's going on in their life. It's only because I know it so well. You know, it's not some great word of wisdom. It's not a word of knowledge. It's a word of experience. I've been there. I can see it, yep. And that's usually what happens. And so I begin to, you know, almost, and people say, bro, you've been reading my journal? No, I've just been writing mine. You see, and I've got hope for you, the same hope that I've experienced. And now I've experienced that, and I'm experiencing that, and I'm growing in that, and therefore I can speak with authority. Listen, Jesus Christ absolutely right now wants to tell you something, that He's got a plan for you, and that He loves you. And right now, you need to enter into the presence of God because you can. And I'll speak with authority and passion because it's my life. It's how I live. It's how I breathe. And it's what people need. They need grace. The end of the book of Hebrews says that our hearts would be established in grace. And you know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is kind of where I want to wrap this thing up in. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 brings us to a very practical level in these things. Hebrews 4:16 is the verse that we ought to be using all the time to minister to people. If you're not using it, there's something wrong. It's life. And I don't want us to get so familiar with the passage that it becomes insignificant to us. Oh, God forbid. I pray you're so familiar with the passage that it only becomes deeper and deeper and richer to you. I can clearly declare to myself. Now, I do this thing which I call preaching to myself. David did it when he said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He's preaching. What are you doing down there, soul? Why are you disquieted within me? What are you doing? Get up. Hope in God. In the help of his countenance. He's preaching to himself. And I love to be a preacher to myself. And I do it all the time. Believe me, if you don't preach to yourself, Satan's going to preach to you. And you better know the word and be able to preach. Whether you're a preacher or not, you need it. It says there that we are to enter into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. If I had this verse alone and was thrown in prison and was taken, a Bible was taken from me, I could walk with God like there's no tomorrow. I mean, I could just walk with the Lord. This one verse, it ties it all together. And here's that word boldness, confidence. It's our word. Therefore, having confidence to enter to the throne of grace, to approach the throne of grace, to do what? To obtain mercy and to find help in time of need. There's some words that speak to me. Obtain mercy. Find help in time of need. The word there is mercy and grace. Now, I always ask, you know, I get somebody, say, in the prayer room or somebody talking with me, you know, they're broken, they're condemned. I mean, the condemnation just makes me so mad, because it ought not to be in the church, because Jesus died that we wouldn't be condemned anymore. And you know, to walk around condemned, you're actually following a false doctrine. You're really basing your life on heretical teaching, because it's impossible for you to be condemned, for God to condemn you, for you to have those feelings. That's real. But how do you combat those feelings? With truth. It says here, let us therefore come confidently to the throne of grace. The first word we find here is grace. Secondly, it says that we might obtain mercy. Okay, let's mark these. Grace. Secondly, obtain mercy. Thirdly, find grace. Fourthly, help. Fifthly, time of need. Okay, grace, obtaining mercy, finding grace to help in a time of need. Now, whenever you or I are condemned, we ought to begin to preach this to ourselves. Somebody says, "I don't know what to do." And they're just thrashed, and people don't know how to respond and don't know what the Lord's thinking of them and how's God view me now? You know, and you're just overwhelmed with conviction. I mean, you've just said some things or done some things, thought some things. They're just so wicked. Now, what is the will of God? Now, here's, because we want to know that. What's the will of God right now for my life? Well, let's turn to the Word of God. The will of God for me, that when I'm condemned, when I'm feeling like I can't go on, the will of God is to come to the throne of grace. To do what? This is God's will. This is what God is going to give me, that I might obtain something. He's going to give me something. What's he going to give me? Mercy. I might obtain mercy to obtain mercy, find grace. So I'm going to get mercy and grace. Man, it's all in that package. Whatever is going on, whatever's happening, you're obtaining mercy, you're finding grace. When are we obtaining mercy and finding grace? To help in time of need. When? Time of need. It's in the time of need. What's it to do? To help you. Wow. This is a verse I simply base my life upon. And if I didn't have this verse and didn't live on it, I wouldn't make it in ministry, I can promise you. Because when I fail, which is often, when I'm struggling, when I'm just going through it, when I feel like I can't go on any longer, I ask myself the question, what is the will of God right now? Is it quit? Is that the will of God right now? Quit? What is the will of God right now for my life? Give up? What is the will of God for my life right now? The will of God, and let me put it this way, the commandment of God is come boldly. Come right now with confidence not in you, in Jesus' blood. Now the cross means something. You come to Him. You draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. You draw near and you say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here to obtain mercy today. I need it. I'm here, Lord, to find grace. Lord, I need help and I'm in a time of need. Need of what? I'm in need of mercy and grace. Right now, what's the will of God? You're condemned. It's to find mercy and grace. It's to get help. Because you're in time of need. Are you in need? Anytime you're in need of mercy and grace, it's yours. Wow. That's stability. That's going to make you strong. It's yours. That's not my idea. That's the will of God. That's the Word of God. That's the commandment of God. It's not my idea. It's God's will. Wow. It's something that I'm going to take and preach to myself. Trent, what are you doing? I'm just depressed. I'm just whining about my problems and my sin and my why I shouldn't be a pastor and why I shouldn't teach today. What are you doing? Stand on your feet and be a man. Go to the Lord. He's there. What's God's will for you right now? The enemy says, give up. Lord can't use you. Look at you. Lord doesn't want you. You're just a failure. You're just a joke. You just fail and fail and fail and fail. Get up. You just rebuke the devil with the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit out. The will of God right now is to draw near with a true heart. But my heart's not true. Yes, it is. You're convicted. Go to the Lord. Lord, I need you. That's true. Lord, I'm a sinner. That's true. And Lord, you're the only one that can help me. I'm going to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Not in me. Not even in what I pray right now that I'm going to be able to keep. Full assurance of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for me. I've been justified by faith. God sees me right now righteous in His sight. That's the will of God. That's the truth of God. And I'm drawn near with a true heart. I understand that. God has accepted me in His Son, the Beloved. I'm accepted. That's the truth. Take the sword of the Spirit out. You're going to find strength. You're going to find victory. Pull it out. The truth of God is that I have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. It's by His blood I've been justified. I'm entering in by the blood. Romans 3:25 says that I have received propitiation by the blood of Jesus Christ. Propitiation, the appeasing of the wrath of Almighty God. You know, the idea that God's angry with you is absolutely heresy. Impossible. Absolutely, totally, wholly impossible for God to be angry with you. Anger is wrath. If you look at the Greek word, we get our word anger and wrath, the same thing. The wrath. God has got wrath for you. No, He doesn't. Jesus took all of the wrath of God on the cross. Amen. He's not, and you feel like God must be angry with you. Why? Because you'd be angry with somebody if they did what you did to them. That what you've done to God. God isn't angry. Hear it. Stand on the Word. Stand on truth. stand on something that's real, something that's eternal, something that's right. Your feelings aren't. You feel like God must be mad at you. The Bible says impossible. The blood of Jesus has made propitiation for you. God's wrath has been absolutely satisfied, appeased. It does not exist for you. Impossible. You're free. You are right now freed from any idea that God's angry with you. In fact, God has viewed you as righteous in His sight. You might not be righteous in your sight, but God has said, I've declared you righteous right now. Now that's when it becomes real meaningful. When you know you're not. When you feel like you're not. When you're overwhelmed of your sense of your unrighteousness and you think, I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. Their atonement has been made. And I'm right now coming with confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ solely. And I'm going to come in. I need help. I need mercy. I need grace. And I'm in time of need. And God says, and I'm right here. And I'm right here. And I'm not angry. And I'm not frustrated. And you know what? I'm not even surprised. Because to whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the image of His Son. There's the one that I'm preaching to myself all day. To whom He foreknew, to whom He knew everything about beforehand, He said, I'll choose that one. I'll predetermine that one to become one that looks like Jesus. Did you hear the verse? Romans chapter 8 there, verse 29. To whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the image of Jesus. He didn't just predestine you for salvation. He predestined you for glorification. It's going to happen. Not because I feel like it. Not because I think so. But because He said it. In fact, I feel the exact opposite. It'll never happen. And you ask me, Trent, do you ever think you'll be like Jesus? Never. Do you ever think that you're going to be freed from these? Never. I feel like a joke. I feel like a jerk. I feel like I'm so unworthy. Good, you're right. And you know, Satan says, you're unworthy. You know what you can say to him? Amen. But Christ is worthy. You can't do that. You're right, but Christ can. And He said He's going to. And He's chosen to use me. Get out of here. Look at you. You're a failure. Yeah, but He's not. And I'm walking with Him. Get out of my face. I'm standing on the blood of Jesus. Don't give me this stuff about me. Everything you say about me is true. Notice you haven't said anything about my Lord, because you can't. And that's what I'm going to talk about, my Lord. And that's what my focus is on. That's what my confidence is in. That's where my dependency is. And I'm trusting in Him, to whom He foreknew. Think about it. He knew everything about you. Think about this, church. Every single thought you would ever think. You read Psalm 139. He knows our rising up, our sitting down, our thoughts afar off, a word on our tongue before we ever speak it. I mean, think. He knows every time I'm going to move my hand like this. Every thought I'm going to think. I'm talking about an infinite God. He knows every single thing. He knows every motive of my heart for my entire life. It's like He saw it all. He just sat there and He just looked, yep. Full knowledge of it. And He said, and then He comes to the end of my life and He says, and I'm going to choose that one to be conformed to the image of my Son. What am I going to say to these things? What am I going to say to that? God said it, I didn't. I wouldn't have chose me. But God chose me. Now, either you can just sit around and sulk and say, I'm not worthy, and da 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 da, and cry like a baby. Or you can stand up and be a man. You can stand up and live for the Lord. And you can say, hey, this isn't new. This isn't surprising to God. You're surprised by your sin. We say, I can't believe I did that. That's because you think that you have something better. Because we have confidence in ourselves. It's always the revelation of how much I have confidence in me. Paul said, in me dwells no good thing. But we don't really believe that. Because we say, I cannot believe I said that. That's because you think in you something dwells good. You should say, I believe I said that. I shouldn't have, but that's just me. Oh, I need to get filled with the Spirit of God. I need to get this flesh and deal with it. Of course you believe you said it. How many times before have you said something stupid? Why are you so surprised? God isn't surprised. God isn't angry. God isn't upset. God is ready to cleanse, heal, forgive, and change you. And if we would simply fix our eyes upon Him and put our faith in Him and put our hope in Him, we're going to find that we have confidence and we can go on in life and we don't have to live sulking about, no, I just am not worthy. I shouldn't go on. I'm just an idiot. Duh. That was established from the beginning of time. Before He chose you, that was established. But He still chose you. Do you want to be a recipient of the blessings of God? Do you want to take in and drink in the blessings of God? Then get out of the flesh, because right now when you're sulking and whining, you're in the flesh. You're focused on you. You don't care about the Lord. You need to repent of yourself and you need to focus on the Lord. You need to go to Him. You need to receive His grace. You need to receive His mercy. You need to receive His healing and you need to worship Him for Him. And you'll find that you're going to fall so in love with them. It's those times of deep sin that I've been able to really understand the greatness of His grace, which has caused me to fall in love with Him, because I realize one thing, He loves me. There's nothing I can do to change that. I can go sin my life away and He loves me. I'm a chosen child of God, predestined from the foundations of the world. He loves me. If I choose to do that, I'm just going to be miserable. If I choose to go live in sin, I'm going to be so absolutely depressed. But I can also choose right now to live in holiness, because He loves me. Because He lives in me. Because He's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And I can be victorious because of His love for me. I can be used by Him. I can be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work, because He loves me. I can do things that a human being can't do, because He loves me. Because He's at work in me. And I am simply, and here's what it comes down to, and this is what I'm going to leave us with, a choice. You can choose to dwell on you and be all depressed about you, or you can choose to receive His grace and be used by Him and have satisfaction and fulfillment in life because you're in His will. You can choose to live in holiness because it's going to bless you. Because when God is glorified, you are the most satisfied. You are so blessed. When you're dead and He's living, there's nothing greater. When you're alive, you're miserable. And so many Christians decide to choose the life of just misery because of one thing they're not willing to believe: in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elementary, simplistic, but simply amazing what it will do to your walk. I have found incredible strength from the Lord, incredible stability in my walk, though I find that if you were to look at my holiness chart, it's like this. But my walk's not based on my holiness chart. How I'm doing. My walk is based upon Him, what He did. And I found that the more I choose to do that and believe Him and trust Him and walk with Him, that I do walk in a deeper holy way, because I'm just filled with Him, caught up with Him, getting so blessed at obeying Him and walking with Him and being surrendered to Him, that I just find that sin isn't so tempting to me. It's like, sick. It's going to be miserable. Been there, done that. See you later. Alligator. You know what I'm saying, Keith? I mean, just taking the things that God has clearly, simply given to us and allowing Him to work within us in such a deep way. So simplistic. Two verses. Hebrews 4:16, Hebrews 10:19, life verses. It will make it or break it. And all you've got to do is take heed to Him. That's all. When you're depressed, you enter in. He'll do the rest. But you've got to go. You've got to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Amen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask Aaron to come on up, and we're going to do a little bit of worship, and then we'll break and fellowship, and then lunch is in an hour. Father, we thank You so much for, Lord, Your grace. It is rich. It is real. Lord, it is right. And God, we ask that, Lord, we might truly take heed to it. God, I don't know how to express, Lord, the things that You have done in my heart through these passages, Lord. I feel, Lord, so inadequate, Lord, as I share today. God, I pray and I know that You, Lord, are sovereign. And I pray, God, that You, through Your Spirit, would quicken our hearts. Reveal, Lord, these verses to, Lord, each and every individual here. And that, God, You might just take them on a journey on their way to eternity here on this earth. God, of Your grace and Your goodness. God, that they might be useful vessels prepared for You. God, we pray that You'd pour out Your Holy Spirit and do Your work. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Is everybody awake this morning? Good. Go sleep. There's that absolute dead silence. That's not a good sign. Retreats, you know, you're supposed to sleep, but you never do. Instead, we just sleep during the teachings. So it's the time we get our most sleep on a retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're agreeing. Okay, I'm watching you, the whole message. Yeah, you're right in my sight. Amen. This morning we want to talk about, as we looked at last night, having no confidence in the flesh. This morning the title of the message is having all of our confidence in the blood of Jesus. Clearly, we are to be a people of confidence as leaders. A leader needs to be confident. He needs to know where he or she is going. He needs to be one that is able to lead, able to guide, able to direct. And how important it is for us to be a people like that. So it's easy from what we talked about last night, saying, you know, hey, it's not about me. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm nothing, you know. And therefore, we tend to just kind of kick back in the sense of saying, who am I to say anything? Who am I to do anything? Who am I to you know, lead these people? I'm just, you know, a joke. That's what you told me, Pastor Trent. You know, we're just a bunch of fools. So that's where we've got to come. But then when we get to that point, we need to then move on. We need to get to that point of realizing we are nothing. We need to get to that point realizing that we have nothing to offer God. But then from there, we ought to press on to something else, to a greater confidence. We are to be a strong people. I'll tell you, one of the biggest problems that I see in leadership is the lack of stability. The lack of strength. And a good leader is one who's strong. We talked a little bit about consistency. One who's consistent, and that has to do with strength. Somebody that is very consistent in their walk, in their leadership. They're consistent. They're not up and down, you know, by the emotions of, you know, their heart or by the trials in their personal life, but they're a strong, consistent leader. Strength comes from understanding God's love for me. When I really grasp that and really come into the fullness of that, there's an incredible strength there. Paul writes to Timothy, Paul's last epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And he writes there, and in verse 1 he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I love that because he tells Timothy to do something. Timothy, you need to be strong. He'll go on to say, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The calling on Timothy is to be strong, to be a strong leader. But the only way to be a strong leader is to be strong in the grace that's in Christ. And how important that is for you and I to get and to understand. That we are to be strong in the grace. That's where my strength is going to come from. I don't have any inner strength. I don't have anything to offer God. I didn't come to this thing called salvation with anything. I came bankrupt. I came with sin. I came with problems. I came just broken. Here I am, Lord. If you can use me, that's a miracle to me. And that's really the way we ought to come. But as I do, I've got to then have some strength. A leader should be able to stand on his own two feet, we might say. The Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says that we stand by grace. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Yeah, a little gigabogger right there. Okay. Yeah, we're situated. Yeah. That's a natural gift. I won't get started again. You guys still got me going from last night. To be strong in the grace that's in Christ, to stand really as a leader. People are looking to you. People are looking to follow you. The only way that you're going to be able to stand through thick and thin, through the good times and the hard times, is that you stand by God's grace. Romans 5:1 says we've been justified by faith, having peace with God. Let me read it to you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Goes on to talk about rejoicing in tribulation. Goes on to talk about trials, afflictions, hard times. There is an absolute necessity as a leader to recognize your inabilities, to realize you don't have any natural gifts. You have nothing. And you come to the Lord bankrupt. You come to the Lord with nothing to offer Him. But you come to Him and recognize He's got something for you. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. It's by that grace we stand. Paul goes on to say in another epistle in 1 Corinthians, and we looked at this last night just for a minute in a little different context, chapter 15, verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." Paul would say that his leadership abilities, who he is in Christ, he is what he is by the grace of God. Now he goes on to say that the grace towards me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Check this out. This is interesting. I'm to be strong in grace, I'm to stand by grace, and I'm to labor through grace. It's God's grace that's going to make me strong, going to make me stand, and it's going to cause me to labor more abundantly than many others. It's the grace of God that does that work in me to make me that leader that I need to be. And we're talking about simplicity, right? Simplifying maybe our ministry, simplifying our lives, simplicity in Christ. It's real simple. You've got nothing. God's got everything. Go to Him. Trust Him. Walk in His power. And you're going to find you're going to be incredibly strong. And when you're weak, He's strong. And you're going to find His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is there. It all comes down to this thing called the grace of God. And when we talk about the grace of God, when I think of the grace of God, what do we think of? We think of the cross, hopefully. That's the point of grace. That's where we really received grace. That's where grace really happened, is when Christ died for me. The greatest act of God's grace ever was Christ dying for me. It's there where I'm going to draw my strength. And we talk about the foot of the cross. We sing songs about the cross. We talk about kneeling at the cross. It's that place that you've got to be determined that you're going to live. And you're going to draw all of your confidence from the cross. And what happened at the cross? The greatest thing that happened at the cross is that Jesus bled there. Jesus' blood. When I talk about the blood of Jesus, to be real honest, if you really think about it, we're used to that idea. But it's a really demented idea. The blood of another. You know, we sing songs about the blood being poured out. It's kind of, unbelievers, they just think, whoa, weird. You know, it is an odd thought. Because it's really speaking of death. Somebody died. Blood isn't a pretty sight. None of us want to see blood right now. It's not something that we look forward to. I told my wife when my firstborn son was born, I told her, I said, there's one thing, and I'd pray, Jesus, don't ever let me see His blood. Now, that's not really a reality with my boys, but that was my heart. I don't want, that's not something that I'm looking forward to, because it speaks of hurt, pain, death. We don't want to talk about that. But when we look at Christ, we realize that when I think of that phrase, the blood of Jesus, it just stirs my heart. It burns in me this confidence that I have in Him. Without it, I don't have anything. And I don't know what the blood of Jesus means to you. But I hope if it doesn't mean a lot to you, that it will before we're done here this week. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's everything. He died in my place. That's what I'll stand in, is that death, that grace that He had. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm able right now to stand when I should fall. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm able to be strong when I should be weak. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm able to continue to labor when I really don't have the strength to labor. It's not my strength. It's not my standing. It's not my laboring. It's His. I'm drawing from Him. But I can because of the blood of Jesus. Our text that I'd like to really focus in on is found in the book of Hebrews. Would you turn there to chapter 10 with me? Hebrews chapter 10. And again, I shared with you that these are my life verses that I'm sharing this week. And You know that have been around the church for any time, this is one of my most favorite verses. You know right where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 10, verse what?
19, boy, you guys are quick. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, boy, when I read that, the blood of Jesus, it just speaks volumes to me. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. And verse 22 is one of my favorites. Let us draw near. That phrase, let us draw near, speaks volumes. How many of us this morning woke up and said, I'm just going to draw near to God today? And if you did, it's because you can. I'm not going to draw near because I'm so great. I'm going to draw near because Jesus shed his blood. I can. And you're going to do it with a, as it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. It's the blood of Jesus that gives me the access in. Now, where do I get the word confidence? Here, as we read verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of all. The word here, boldness, is used four times. The Greek word that this is translated boldness is used four times in the book of Hebrews. Two times it's translated boldness, two of the most important verses in the book of Hebrews, here in 10:19 and as well in 4:16. It's translated boldness. As well, it is used in verse chapter 3 in verse 6. And then here in chapter 10, it's used in verse 35 once again. Those two places, it's translated confidence. And what I'd like to point out, so the Greek word is used four times in the book of Hebrews, twice translated boldness, twice translated confidence. Now, what's so important about that? The point is that the word can go either way. It means the same thing, boldness or confidence. I like to use the word confidence because it speaks more to me of really what we have when we draw near to God. Having the verse would read then, therefore, brethren, having confidence to enter the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. When I look at the word confidence, it's got to be linked immediately to that phrase, the blood of Jesus. All of my confidence is in one source. It's not in my flesh. It's not in my natural abilities. It's not in my strength. It's not in the things I have achieved in life, my degrees, my knowledge of the Word, my prayer life, my great skills of, you know, communication, on and on we can go with, you know, what we might think that's what I'm confident in that. And again, it comes down to this thing of, you know, I really have a feel confident here. And again, it comes down to that thing which we feel, that's my natural ability. I'm comfortable there. I'm confident there. But we've really got to examine ourselves and say, what is my confidence in? Is my confidence in solely, only the blood of Jesus Christ? The work of atonement that happened on the cross. And I'll tell you what, when your confidence is there, and there only, you're going to find an incredible strength, an incredible ability to stand in the midst of hardships. And the reality is ministry holds many, many trials for you. Many tears will be shed if you are involved in leadership, in ministry, caring and shepherding for people. And if you're going to be a strong witness for Jesus Christ and stand, and at times you're going to have to stand your ground. You're going to be challenged about the way you might be doing things. And in times like that, we want to be humble. We want to search the Scriptures. We want to seek the Lord. We want to examine our hearts. But when we've done that and we've come to the conclusion that, hey, what I'm doing is the Lord. I seek Him. I humble myself. I examine my heart. And I come to the point of saying, hey, I'm only convicted more so in what I'm doing now, after rethinking it, after re-praying through it, after re-studying the scriptures on it. I'm even more convinced that the things that we're doing are right and biblical and the way we're going. But you've got people challenging you. You've got people saying that's not right because they have a different take, a different view on it. And after doing that, you're going to have to stand your ground to be a strong leader, lest you're led by people. And there's a great temptation to just simply be led by people. And when I say people, I'm just speaking people in the congregation. They've got ideas, and you know they want to do this, and you know they're all passionate about this. And what I found about that is people have all these ideas, and they act like, man, they are huge to them. And without, if you don't do them, they're just not going to be able to handle it. And you know, and the thought is they're probably going to leave the church, and you know there's going to be division and all this stuff. And you know, we have found by experience, and the elders of our church can confirm this, as we have said, okay, we'll compromise a little, just to make people happy, just, you know, to bring peace. A thing maybe not a big issue. So we'll do a certain thing, and those people that have the big thing about it, and boy, we've got to do this, and this is just so going to be so awesome, and we have to have this. When we do it, they're nowhere to be found. You've got to start this ministry. Well, we really don't feel like, but okay, we'll do it, you know. And they're not there. And they don't really care. And now we're doing something that we're not really called to do, and we're doing it because someone else told us it really needs to be done, thinking that it's going to really be a blessing, and it's really not a blessing at all. And we find that we just spin our wheels, and they become distractions. Distractions to what God has called us to. Because we're being led by others. And this is where it gets touchy. Because if you tend to be confident in your own self, a very confident person, you'll tend to just shut, and you'll hear a message like this, go, right on, amen. And you'll just shut those things, you know, those kinds of people down. And there's a definitely need for us to be humble, and a need for us to say, you know what, maybe they have a point, and to pray over it, and to seek God about it, and to search the scriptures on it. Boy, I can't tell you how we have learned, the elders of our church, when I speak of elders, the pastors, as we work in that plurality of leadership, we have learned in the last couple years some real lessons about being led by others. We've also learned some real lessons about humbling ourselves and seeking the Lord, and have done that. People bringing up certain issues in the fellowship, and you know, we've gone to the Lord with it, and I really praise God we did. And we did. We humbled ourselves, and we just sought the Lord and re-examined it. And I mean, we had day after day of times meeting together and discussing different issues that people had brought up, problems and situations, and thinking, you know, hey, and re-examining them. And I'll tell you what, when we did that, there was such a unity, such a sweetness, because we came together and sought the Lord. And I'll tell you, I have more confidence now that the things we're doing are the things God's called us to, because we had to relook at them. But you know, I did find at the same time that if we were to continue to go on, you know, and just kind of compromising and doing things for other people, that and we did that for a time. Well, at least I could speak for myself. In little certain areas in my life, I did that for a time. Little minor things. They're not like big doctrinal things, or you know, we're just living in compromise and just being people pleasers, but you know, just like, okay, well, yeah, what, you know, it's not that big of a, okay, whatever. You know, yeah, okay, we'll do it, you know? And just kind of like, to stop the, you know, nagging widow syndrome. You know, whatever they want, we'll do it, let's just have peace, let's just go on. And have come to find that it doesn't work. And what it becomes is a distraction in the ministry. So there's that tendency for us that might be more overconfident in what we're doing, and somebody brings something to us, and immediately we just shut them down. Immediately we just say, well, you know, that's just the way we do it. And not really taking it in, not really humbling ourselves, not really receiving from the Lord. But then on the other hand, there's those temptations of maybe you're not like that. You're on the other side, kind of just more of a people pleaser, or, you know, a peacemaker. And you like to make peace with people, and you don't like to, you know, get people riled up. You're going to find that you're just going to be manipulated by people the rest of your life. You're going to be a weak leader. You're not going to stand. you're not going to be able to lead God's people into God's will and what He's called you as a church. And it's only going to quench the work of the Lord. And what you find is you have all these now distractions in the ministry because of the lack of a just simple confidence in what God has called you to do. Boy, how we need to be people and leaders of conviction and people that are going in a direction and walking with the Lord and really hearing the Lord and knowing what the Lord's speaking and saying, this is where we're going. This is the direction we're moving in. And the confidence needs to be not in myself, not in what I've done in the past, but my confidence needs to be in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the work that Christ has done in my life and in my heart. There are going to be times as you are in ministry, especially if you're in that place of a pastor, where there are decisions to make, and it falls upon the pastors of the church to make that. Those decisions that you just simply are going to need to know that you know that you've heard from the Lord. And you need to have a walk that is simple with the Lord that you might be able to hear. You need to have a confidence in Christ, a confidence in who He is. You need to have relinquished all of those things that you have confidence in yourself about. And what I'm speaking really here of is a foundation. You have a foundation in your walk. It's not something you in the midst of the situation, in the midst of the trial, you go, oh, we need to be confident in the Lord. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of hearing God because you're going to Him. A lifestyle of being confident in the things that He's speaking to you and the confident in the things He's leading you in. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we're to be led by the Lord. And what does that all mean? That's our next session. We're going to be talking about walking in the works prepared beforehand for us. But the issue comes down to back to your own personal life. That your confidence isn't in you, but it is in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's in the blood of Jesus. Listen, you're going to go up and down, up and down if you're not like this. You're not going to find strength. You're not going to stand. You're going to be easily moved by emotions. And again, I'll tell you, when somebody brings an issue to you, some sweet brother or sister in the fellowship, you love them, and they bring an issue, you just want to, you know, make things work. I'm not talking about people that are just ridiculous and, you know, just saying crazy stuff. I mean, those situations, you're just like, well, it's obviously not the Lord. I'm talking about issues where this could be the Lord. This person I know seeks the Lord. This person I know loves the Lord. I believe that this person has pure motives. I don't believe they're trying to, you know, get something or do something. I believe that maybe they've really heard from the Lord. And so I need to, it's so easy to be emotionally moved by that. Hard. Maybe it's a relationship you had with somebody, and you're seeing that if you don't go the way they want you to go, that relationship's going to be hurt. There's a lot of emotions there. And how important it is, and I know you know this, and we all know this, not to be led by emotions, but to be led by the Spirit. But that's not so easy, is it? Emotions are strong, many times stronger than the feelings of the Spirit leading us. In the midst of emotions, many times, we don't know how to be led. And then comes in the aspect of the devil and his whispering. The enemy coming in and the enemy speaking these lies continually to us. Tying that in with our emotions. And we're many times, maybe you feel like you find yourself in utter confusion. You're just confused. You're in a place of, like David said, why are you downcast, O my soul? And you think, how am I to be strong right now? How am I to be confident? Now, as a senior pastor, I'm teaching the word weekly. Okay, I'm going to be in the pulpit, and these are just the realities of ministry. So I go through these things. Now, how am I going to continue to do what God's called me to? How am I going to set up guards, if you would, not to get distracted, to keep the main thing, to keep feeding the sheep, to to keep ministering to the saints that are there that don't have maybe an issue or a problem, though there might be a small group over here that does. How do I balance dealing with this and praying over it and humbling myself and continuing to feed and continuing to bless and not walking around the church like the world has come to an end? But emotionally, that's how you feel. Emotionally, you're thrashed. Emotionally, you feel like, I can't go on. I can't do this. And any of you that have been pastors have probably been in that place. I know I can speak for our elders. You know, we've been in that place. Just forget it. Just forget it. You know, and more than probably I even know, you know, of each of us individually. And for you guys in ministry, I know you've just felt like, you know what, forget it. Forget ministry. Forget that. I can't do this. And what do you need right then? You need to stand, don't you? You need to be strong. You need a strength that you don't have. And especially for you ladies. Because you are made up more on the sensitive and emotional side. And so it's even now harder for you. You know, wanting to, you know, not make waves. You know, us guys, we can make waves easier. We'll forget them. Just forget them. Well, you know, sometimes the ladies, they can't just forget them. I tell my wife, just forget about it. You know, and 3 o'clock in the morning, she's up not forgetting about it. What are you doing? Well, I'm just troubled. Well, forget about it. And, you know, I just go to sleep. And so it even becomes more difficult. And this is why they say, you know, that the hardest job in the church is the senior pastor's wife or pastor's wives. And truly it is. It's hard because there's this weight, you know, upon them. And ladies, how is it that you're going to be a strong, confident leader in God's kingdom towards as an example to the women and not, you know, say things that are stupid in a time of emotions and, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. Just, you know, saying things that you're going to regret later. You know, and then you come home and your husband goes, what did you say? We're not doing that. You know, he's taking the stand. You're just peacemaker. Oh, I'm sure everything will work out. No, it won't. You know, we're not doing that. We're not going there. And now you're like, oh no. And now you feel twice as condemned. Because now you've told somebody something that you know it's not going to happen because you don't have any authority to make it happen. And your husband's mad at you. And so now you've grieved the one that you, you know, wanted to make peace with and your husband. And so there's just this weight upon you. And you're just like, could I die? Would somebody shoot me right now? And, you know, the issue is, you see the senior pastor's wife saying, Shayla and Debbie, they're just like, yeah, amen. Yeah, been there, know that. And you know, it's really difficult. And so, you know, I'm speaking of these things, but these are real issues. And how is it that I have found, and how is it that my wife and I have found to stand in times like that? It's when we are willing to be people that keep the main thing, that our confidence is in the Lord. It's in the work He's done for us on the cross. And you got to keep the main thing. Listen, God has called me to do this. He's called me to teach the Word of God, to feed the sheep, to lead in the way that God has given me convictions, to teach systematically. This is the philosophy of our ministry. This is what we do. We do worship this way. This is simple. That's what God's called me to do. And I've got to be confident in that. And I've got to rest upon that. And if I don't, somebody's going to come and challenge that. I just got to be, well, that's, you know, not saying that's the only way to do it. Just saying that's the way God has called us. And that there's a confidence between you and the Lord. That you have a confidence. And when that's challenged, you don't have to be moved by the emotions. The emotions will come. They will be there. And they're very real and they're very strong. But you don't have to be moved by them. You've got to realize what God has called you to. We talk about this thing called vision. You've got to have vision. What has God called us to as a fellowship, as a leadership? What is our ministry? And maybe your ministry might not be, you know, the senior pastor. I know that there's only a couple of those that would apply to here. But your ministry might, you know, just say be, you know, say for Andy over here, it's taking over the junior high. It's issues in junior high. What's God given Andy vision for the junior high department? What direction are they going? He's got to know. He can't just kind of, I'm just kind of cruising along, because somebody's going to come and hit him and say, why are you doing that? Well, he better know why he's doing that. Matt's back there saying, they're going to hit you, baby. So Matt's all, yeah, I'm free now. you know, and man, he's got to be resolved now what he's doing, why he's doing what he's doing. He's got to have heard from the Lord, had confirmation from, you know, his leaders. And there's got to be a confidence. And the confidence is, this is what Jesus has led us to do. And this is what his word declares. And he's got to be able to stand. I can't tell you how great there's a need today in the leadership for people that are strong. Strong doesn't mean arrogant. Strong doesn't mean unwilling to yield. Strong doesn't mean dogmatic. Strong means resolved in what God has called them to. And in the whole time, there's humility. As James says, wisdom from above is willing to yield. I'm willing to pray about it. I'm willing to search the scriptures again. I'm confident. And some might say it's dogmatic. I don't want to be dogmatic, but I'm confident in what I believe the Lord. And let me think about it. Let me pray over it. But you know, the reality is you do that and the Lord will usually confirm, yep, that's it, and it'll only become stronger. But you don't have to be moved. You know what? And there's one thing that I've learned just in this last year, and it's been so huge for me. It's this. It's not to feel threatened by other people's suggestions. Because when you do that, you get on the defensive. And when you're on the defensive, you're not going to say what the Lord Jesus would say. You're not going to act the way the Lord Jesus would. You've got to defend why you do this. I don't need to defend in the sense of, boy, I'm right and you're wrong, and here I am, I'll show you why you're wrong, and the other guy gets defensive, and now I'm going to show you why I think you're wrong, and there's a fight. Hey, this is what you want to know, my vision? Here it is. I share it. This is why we do this. This is what we're doing. If they disagree, great. Not a problem. I'm not challenged by it. Not threatened. Their church attendance doesn't threaten me. Oh no, I'm going to lose a member. I'm not going to be threatened by that. That's the flesh. I'm not going to say, oh well, you know, if they leave, oh, this is going to be, I need them. You don't need them. You're walking with God. You're fulfilling a calling God's given you. And I can't tell you what it does for you, and so reserves your tongue from saying things you so wish you wouldn't have later. If you're not challenged by it, hey, there's other ways people do ministry. Great, not a problem. But here at Saving Grace, this is the way the Lord has led us. If the Lord's leading you in that way, we're really not open to that. We're not going to move out in that way. We're not going to have, you know, dancing in the sanctuary. You know, so that's just what we're not going to do. Great. You really feel like the Lord's leading you to do that and the Spirit of God is upon you in worship and you want to dance, then, you know, there's some other churches that I could suggest to you that do that. And God bless you. I'm not mad at you. There's no division. When I see you in the grocery store, there's love. There's, how you doing, bro? You know? You know, there's this whole home church movement thing. And I know up in Montana, you guys are dealing with a little bit of it right now. We've gone through that. You know, hey, if they want to meet in a home and they want to seek the Lord, if they're loving Jesus, what are you going to say? God bless you. The only thing that I ask is you don't try to steal sheep. You don't try to cause division. But I don't need to be threatened by a home church. Oh no. We've got to, that's not right because we don't do that. We meet in a building. We're not for that. Now, I can share my concerns about it. I can share my heart to the individuals. about what I think and things that they might want to pray about. But again, conversation. It's not fighting. I'm right, you're wrong, look at what you've done, and now that person's got to put up his dukes and defend, and here's pastor just repping them. Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of, hey, you know what? If you really believe the Lord's led you, here's some things that I'd like to just point you through in the scriptures. Why don't you pray over those? If you believe that, God bless you. I just ask that you're worshiping the Lord. And just remember the word and stick to it and just give them some good biblical exhortations. And hey, if you see things different, maybe the Lord's in it. Maybe the Lord is going to work in that person's life in a deeper way through that. Not going to in mine. I don't see it at all. Again, it's not being dogmatic of how I wouldn't do that. I think it's crazy. I think you're nuts. You know, to leave the fellowship and go hang out with a couple people and, well, you know, if that's what you want to do, okay. You're crazy. You know, I mean, that's in my mind. And so we just naturally begin to thrash them. Well, that's just stupid. Well, that's, and we just start going, what are you doing? And but that humility and that willingness to yield. At the same time, recognizing, well, we're not going to be able to obviously work together in ministry. We see things different. There is going to be maybe a quote, a division, but it's not division. There's got to be a separation. We can't flow together because we see things differently. But there doesn't have to be a hatred towards one another. And I'm better and you're not, you know, and a defensiveness. That defensive, that's the flesh. Because I'm not threatened because my confidence is in the Lord. He died on the cross for me. My confidence is in the blood of Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. And he's called me into ministry. And he's called me into this fellowship of believers. And he's called me to teach the word in this style. And he's called us to worship like this. And that's just, and we're blessed doing that. We're just so comfortable. We're excited. God is moving. We're experiencing the work of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. You don't feel the same way. That's fine. But that's the way God's called. That's the direction we're going. See, you're a leader, but you're not prideful and, you know, just dogmatic, our way is the only way. And this is where division starts in church. This denomination and this denomination. At the same time, you've got to be a leader. You can't just go, well, that's cool, you know, and whatever. And you've got to have clear-cut differences between this and that. And you know, it's so important for us to realize this and to just stand in what God has called us to. And moving kind of to a little different asset or a different aspect of this, it's more on the personal side, on the side of struggles. When we talk about being confident in the blood of Jesus, there are those struggles that we have in our lives, struggles with sin, struggles with making those mistakes, struggles with failures. And here's another issue of going up and down in your walk. And that thing of emotions, you know, you find yourself, you've fallen into some kind of a sin. It's revealed to you, whether it's, you know, you said something that you just wish you would have never have said, and you feel just horrible. And these emotions of condemnation come in, and you think, how can I go on in the ministry? How can I? And you know, there you are, and you've got to go minister in, you know, an hour, and you know, the people you're ministering to know about your situation, and you just think, forget it. And that depression, discouragement can just overwhelm you, and you just want to throw in the towel. Or maybe it's just personal struggles within that God's dealing with. Nobody really knows about them, but you assume everybody must know you're so carnal because you feel like that. The feelings of you just feel like, I am the biggest wretch that's ever lived. And right, I'm going to go minister. I'm going to go lead others, you know, and you're just thrashed. Now, how are you going to stand in that time in ministry? How are you going to be strong? There's only one way. It's in the blood of Jesus. It's realizing that first of all, it never began this ministry because of me, because of my natural abilities, or because of how gifted I am, or great I am, or, you know, how knowledgeable I am. Because if you start with the right foundation, you can stand on that foundation. If you start with no foundation, you're going to fall when the storm comes. You're building your house on this foundation of God's grace. So the reality is okay, this ministry never had anything to do with me. So in the times when there was blessing and excitement and I was experiencing the power of God and, you know, I wasn't convicted over all this sin, I felt like I was doing real well, doing good, and I could preach with authority on a topic because I really felt like, you know, that was a part of my life and I could move on and be strong. But now I'm at a place where I don't feel like that. Now see, here's where motives really are revealed here this morning. And in that time, motives are really revealed, because now you don't have the confidence you did last week. Because last week you didn't have these issues before you, this sin that was weighing on you. And you had confidence then. And you could, you know, counsel somebody and give them an exhortation then. But now you can't. Why? Because last week you felt confident because you were maybe doing those things or felt like you had those things dealt with in your life. But this week, you don't feel like you have those things dealt with. This week, you don't feel confident in those things. What does that mean? Your ministering and confidence was based upon your performance. Where you are, who you are. And there's no question about it that we do have a greater confidence in something that we've experienced and are living in and finding victory in. But we've got to be careful, and here's where it gets real hard, to discern the motives between that being the confidence in the Lord or confidence really in my achievements as a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. And the reality is you're not always going to be holy. And you're not always going to feel like ministering. And you're not always going to feel like you're on top of things. You're not always going to have a blessed morning devotion. Life just isn't that way. You're going to go up and down spiritually and emotionally. But when your foundation is the blood of Jesus alone and nothing else, you're not going to go up and down as a leader. Because God's word hasn't changed since last week. Maybe I have. Maybe I've done some things. Maybe I've made some mistakes. But God's word hasn't changed. The truth that I'm sharing right now hasn't changed. The only thing is changes me. And if the truth I'm sharing is based upon me, and only if I'm, you know, fulfilling this, then I can share it, then it's going to go up and down. But if it's based upon Him, if it's based upon His work, if it's based upon who He is, nothing has changed. Boy, when we get that, we're going to find some strength. You know, it is so important to get, because you're going to go up and down. But the key is a good, strong leader is someone who just isn't moved. They're just unshakable. You can't move this guy. He's strong. Why? Because he's strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And in his life, when he finds sin, what does he do with it? He repents of it. And he does what? Verse 22 says, he draws near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith of what? That Christ Jesus paid for this sin. And it's dealt with right now. God can reveal to me a sin during worship. And I can get up and teach with absolute authority. Even though we're talking about utterly convicted. God just dealing with me in worship. It starts putting his finger on something, showing me something. Well, the question is now that going to affect my delivery of the word? It ought not to. But I ought to immediately, because I am strong in grace, I ought to just draw near right there in worship to the Lord. Repentance is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. I love it. I can do it. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Having boldness, having confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's His blood. It's the blood of Jesus. I'm going to come in by the blood of Jesus right now here during worship. Aaron's on the last song. I'm going to be teaching in less than 3 minutes. What am I going to do? I'm going to walk with God. And I'm going to love it. But I feel horrible. And you know, maybe I even realize that after service, I need to get with the Lord on this issue. The Lord has dealt with